God of love and truth, you speak beneath them all. In the stillness we listen. For your grace we listen. For your voice we listen. A reading from Isaiah. All who make idols are nothing, and the things they delight in do not profit. They cannot witness, they neither see nor know. Who would fashion a god or cast an image that can do no good? The ironsmith fashions it and works it over the coals, shaping it with hammers and forging it with a strong arm. The carpenter stretches a line, marks it out with a stylus, fashions it with planes, and marks it with a compass, and makes it in human form, with human beauty, to be set up in a shrine. You make a god and worship it. Make it a carved image and bow down before it. You pray to it and say, "Save me, for you are my God." They do not know, nor do they comprehend, for their eyes are shut, so that they cannot see, and their minds as well, so that they cannot understand. You lift it to your shoulders and carry it, and set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If you cry out to it, it does not answer or save anyone from trouble. The word of God for the people of God. Listen to the thoughts of Psalm 23 in a new language. Companion of my soul, you shepherd me. I am free from clinging desires. In the green pasture of your presence, I lie down like a baby. I entrust myself wholly to your arms. You lead me to clear springs. You uncover springs within me. You make me a flowing spring. You water my dry weariness, and green comes forth. I am dead, and you bring me to life. You create me moment by moment. You lead me in the way toward you. You go with me close. You are my way. Even when I walk through the darkest alley, you are closer to me than my fear. I feel your hand on my back. You invite me to sit with you at your table, with those whom I fear and those I despise, and all of my favorite foods. You rain down your blessing on me like a shower. My plate is full of blessing. My cup is full to spilling with blessing. You are my hidden companion. Goodness and mercy are my shadows. You are my house, my breath, my life. The word of life.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "The one who enters the sheepfold, not by the gate, but climbing in some other way, is a thief. The shepherd enters by the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. And the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, who calls them by name and leads them out. And having led them out, the shepherd walks in front of them, and the sheep follow. Because they recognize, they know the shepherd's voice. Sheep won't follow a stranger. They'll run away. Because they don't know the voice of a stranger. Well, Jesus used this figure of speech with the disciples, but they totally did not get it. So Jesus said more to them. He said, "Listen, I am the gate of the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me is saved, will go in and come out and find pasture. A thief just comes to kill and steal and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We kind of like the idea of being the sheep of God, being provided for and being protected. Sometimes we like the idea of God just telling us what to do, just showing us the way. On the other hand, we also really don't like people telling us what to do. We're not totally convinced that we like to be sheep because we like to be so independent, so self-determined. And we use the sheep almost as a negative kind of image. You know, those people who are just sheep, they'll just do anything. That's for you, Magdalena. You know, in terms of self-determination, a sheep is only 1 degree worse than lemming. Right? We don't want to go there. We don't want to be led around. We want to be our own kind of person. But here's the secret. Even when we are our most independent and rebellious and self-determined, we're not. Because the fact is that that thief that Jesus talks about breaks in all the time. There are these voices in our heads that tell us what to do, and without question, we obey them. They're the voices that warn us that unless we do these certain things, we won't be loved, we won't fit in, our lives won't be worthy. And we obey them without question. They're these voices that warn us. You can't just be yourself. That's not enough. You've got to fit in this way or that way. There are some requirements. There are some demands. They're the voices of our peers, the voices of our parents when we were children. All these voices. And if you listen to them, you'll notice that it's always the voice of fear. You won't be loved. You won't be accepted. You won't be justified. Your life won't be worth anything unless... And it creates all these hoops and conditions and requirements. It's a voice of anxiety, a voice of lack, a voice of inadequacy, a voice of scarcity, a voice of fear. And you'll notice that, like Jesus says of the thief and the bandit that break in just to steal and rob and destroy, it's not a voice that gives life, but only one that makes demands. You have to do this. You have to fit in like this. You have to be worthy like that. You have to do this kind of thing, be that kind of person. Only making demands, not offering anything. And it's a voice that ultimately doesn't know you. It's like all those politicians at their podiums, all those newscasters on their TV screens, all of those advertisers that are all telling you stuff that you actually don't need to know. Because it's not actually about you. They're just trying to sell something. And they don't know or care who you are. They just know where your weak spots are. They know that you might be afraid. So they can come out of the newscast about somebody who got shot in your neighborhood and you should be afraid. For no good reason. But they know where your fears are. They know that you'll feel left out if you don't have this kind of clothes or car or whatever it is they're trying to sell. And that voice of the thief knows what you feel bad about. It can use that to sell whatever the thief wants to sell you in order to get what the thief wants to get. The thief knows what you feel guilty about, how you feel inadequate, where your wounds are. And that's how the thief gets in. And we listen to those voices and we think we're being independent. When we think we have it all together, it's actually just our fear of vulnerability screaming at us. When we think that we are pretty good people because we do this and that and that, it's just our fear of our guilt yanking at us. And we follow those voices without question. But Jesus says, amidst all that cacophony of all those crazy voices, there's a different voice. There's the voice of the shepherd who has come not to make demands, but to give. I've come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. A voice that knows you. Jesus says he's a shepherd who knows his sheep and calls us by name. God is the one who knows why you were created, and it was for a good reason. And you are adequate. You are beloved. And God knows that and knows you. So, amidst all those voices, how do we know which is the voice of the shepherd and which is the voice of the thief? They seem to know us sometimes, those voices, and yet really they are so much like those idols that Isaiah talks about. You can paint faces on them, but they can't hear you. They can't see you. They can't speak to you. So how do we discern the difference between those voices? We listen. We listen a lot. We practice listening. We listen to what that voice is that tells me that what I'm doing isn't good enough or what I ought to do, the voice that wants to lead me somewhere. We stop and listen and ask, what is that voice? Who is speaking to me? I think we have to practice listening every day. Take some minutes out of your day, and sometimes it's many, to sit and listen in prayer, in reading scripture, and listen for the voice of the one who gives life, the voice of the one who knows you, the one who loves you for your sake, not just so that you can fit in. Reading scripture is a way of listening. Prayer is a way of listening. We have things to say in prayer, and then we just listen. We have ideas that we want to extract out of a scripture. There are meanings that we want to understand. But then beyond that, deeper than that, we just listen. And there in the listening, in the silence, we hear the voice. It very seldom comes in words. Very seldom even comes in ideas or thoughts that we can put words to. It comes in nudgings, an opening, a presence, a leaning, an awareness, a willingness. And we learn to follow that voice. So I invite you to hear again the 23rd Psalm. This time, not to understand it, but simply to listen. Not to what I'm saying, but to what God is saying to you in that scripture. It may or may not be what it means. God might find a different way to speak to you. I invite you to close your eyes and listen. Trust that God is present and wishes to call you by name and lead you out lead you into your life, into freedom, into God. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside deep, still waters. You restore my life breath. You lead me in good paths, for that is your delight. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they give me comfort. You prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me with joy. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in your house as long as I live. Amen.